Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. It's Wednesday, my favorite day of the week. I love doing my show. I meet the most interesting people. I hope you guys are doing well. Today, I have another amazing person, author of Mind Control, It's All in Your Head, Danielle Matthews, and she's my guest, and she's going to join me in just a few minutes. Just want to say welcome to anyone who is listening to me for the first time. I really appreciate you joining us, and I hope you keep coming back and listening. And just so you know, that any show we do, we're doing the show live right now, but any show that we do does go up on the archive platform on Om Times Radio, and also I put it up on my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com, under podcast, so you can always listen to past shows, or if you see a show you may be interested coming up and you can't listen live, you can always catch it at a later time, you know, at your own convenience. To all my regulars, thank you so much for coming back each week. It means the world to me. And to the newbies, just a little bit about me. I am a photographer, I'm an artist, and I'm an author. And I wrote a book. It's called Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And that's kind of what the show is based off of. So my book, I talk about manifesting using the law of attraction. And in my book, I feature 30 manifesting stories alongside with the photographs of the contributors' postcards that they sent in. And a manifesting postcard is kind of like a little mini vision board. People put on what they want to bring into their life. They send it to me and I photograph it. And when their story becomes a reality, I shared it in the book. And I keep getting postcards. I love getting them. And in the book, you know, I focused it down to the main areas in our life where we always want more abundance, which is in love and money and health and our career, right? We could always use more abundance in those areas. So that's how the book is broken down. And I have a bunch of fun manifesting exercises and how to manifest in those areas in the book and writing exercises. It helps us get clear on those things that we want to manifest. So if you're interested, please go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and check it out. I also, each week, keep asking for my listeners to send me a manifesting postcard. And if you're thinking, well, I don't really know how to do that or what to do, if you go to postcardstotheuniverse.com, I tell you how to do it. I tell you how to create a sacred space to do it, what to use, and to get creative. And then my address of where to send it is on there. And I recommend doing it, especially we're coming up on the end of the year. What do you want to manifest in the new year? Take a picture of it, though, because you have to release it. And let me know, you know, that you sent me one. And when it comes true, reach out and maybe you'll be on my show, you know, or we'll talk about your postcard. So going back to the book that I can't even believe it came out right before COVID, I'm doing live readings. I decided to start doing these readings from my book. So if you're interested in hearing me read and watching me read, they're five minutes or less videos. You can follow along doing it. And I'm releasing them on Instagram and TikTok and LinkedIn. And of course, you know, YouTube, you can also follow there. But if you like it, just leave me a little like or a comment. I appreciate it, and share it with anybody else who you think would benefit from listening to the live readings. And what I'm also doing is each week I share what I call a magical message. And I usually post them in the beginning of the week because it's something that, you know, I just want to, it reminds me to focus on things that are good, things that are positive, affirmations, things that we want. And it's just, I found it a very powerful way to use a visual component, because that's what I'm all about. I'm all about the visual component. And this week's is I Have Taken My Power Back. And it's one of the stories from my book, and I'm re-photographing them. So the photographs that I'm releasing each week are different from the ones in the book. I decided to go through the book step by step and re-photograph each postcard and share a little bit about that person's story. And then you can read that on my blog, or you can follow along and you can hear the story, or of course you can always buy the book and then you can see all the stories. Okay, so that's just a little bit about what I'm doing. I'm also doing a manifesting through gratitude workshop Thursday evenings. It's a visual journey, so we're going to be using our camera phones as a tool for manifesting, using and focusing on gratitude. It runs Thursday evenings, 6 to 8 p.m., and you can find out all about that if you go to postcardstotheuniverse.com. I have the whole thing about the workshop and how it's laid out. It's 5 weeks, start to finish. We keep rotating them, and it's a lot of fun. It's online. You can show up in your pajamas if you want, with all your tools, all your crafts, and we're going to be making postcards. It's going to be a lot of fun. And in the new year, I am going to be doing a one-off Saturday making a manifesting postcard workshop. So when I have that date, I will let you guys know about that. Okay, so let me get to my guest today, Danielle Matthews. At the age of 23, Danielle was hit by a drunk driver and sustained a life-altering injury to her brain. The medical world said that there was no hope of recovery and told her to accept this life as her quote-unquote new normal. Although her body was physically impaired, her spirit was strong, and she refused to believe their diagnosis. Her mind was determined to recover, and she did. She is a testament to the concept of post-traumatic growth and has since built an international business leading an organization that did $2.2 million in sales last year. Authored an ebook called Mind Control, It's All in Your Head, and shares her life-altering experience with countless people around the globe. She is well-versed in post-traumatic growth, spirituality, personal development philosophy, cellular health, and entrepreneurship. Post-traumatic growth is how to use challenges in life as teaching moments so you can learn the lessons that will propel you into your next phase. Turn your pain into your power. I love that. So for more information, if you go to her website, brainbodyself.com, you can find out more about Danielle. Welcome, Danielle. Thanks so much for being here with me today.
Yeah, Melissa, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited. Okay, so I'm going to let you tell your story. Obviously, it started when you were 23 with this terrible accident. So you want to share about like what happened and how you got from there to the work that you're doing today.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I think life is always uniquely preparing us for the next step. And
right.
As a kid, I was always curious about how things worked in the body. And I went to school, I studied biology. I was always interested in how things work. And out of school, I took a little bit of break before going into graduate school, and I did Teach for America. I was teaching for a couple of years in Denver, Colorado. And after my second year of teaching, I was home. It was summer break. I was, you know, kind of doing the rounds of seeing friends, seeing family. And it was 7 o'clock in the morning. I was up early. I had just hung out with my friend the night before for his birthday, and I was meeting my family to go to a wedding. And everything changed. I was headed out of Baltimore City, and a gentleman that had been drinking the night before got behind the wheel of his car and passed out while driving. And his car ended up coming into my lane and hitting my car head on. I mean, like headlight to headlight, which was actually very lucky because the car took a lot of the brunt of the force. I mean, that's the way a car is like designed to be hit. And so my body was okay. In fact, I walked out of the car
Oh my God. Wow.
Very clear. Yeah. We thought I was okay. I mean, honestly, like mm-hmm. I had burns from the airbag and, you know, some bruises and stuff that were already happening, but I seemed okay to the point that actually the paramedics didn't bring me in. Even though I was saying to them, I said, like, I don't feel right. Like, I feel really out of it. And wow. they said, oh, you're just in shock. You know, you've had a really shocking experience this morning. Like, it'll be okay. It'll wear off. And, you know, at 23, I didn't know any better. I'd never been in a situation like that before. And my parents were coming to the scene. And when they got there, my mom looked at me and she said, something's not right. Like, you mm-hmm. don't seem like yourself. And so they took me to an urgent care. And the crazy part is they missed my injury also. They also said I was just in shock. And they told me to kind of just carry on with life and it would go away. And a week later, I was in so much pain. Like, my head was light. Like, natural light felt like someone was, putting a flashlight in my eye. Any sort of noise was overwhelming. I was hearing everything at the same level. It was like I could hear the AC as well as I was hearing, like, the fork and knife on the dinner plate and someone talking to me. It all was coming at me at the same level. And it was so overwhelming. And I was just, my personality had changed quite a bit. I was very blunt because it was like life was just too much.
Wow.
And it's kind of crazy. We eventually got in with my primary care provider and he said, Danielle, you've had a head injury. You know, you need to see a neurologist. And I went into the neurologist and they basically said to me, look, what you have is classified as a mild traumatic brain injury. And honestly, that felt like such an oxymoron at the time because mm-hmm. I remember looking at the doctor and saying, nothing about this feels mild. I said, I can't do any normal functioning, you know? And he said, well, you know, moderate and severe means you have a brain bleed or you're in a coma. He said, be grateful that it's just mild. And I thought, okay, but how do I function in life? And, you know, I attempted to go back to work. I've always been an athlete my whole life since I was like 8 years old. I was a swimmer. I competed in snowboarding in college. Like, I was always doing different athletics. And you kind of push through. And so I kind of adopted the same attitude. And I attempted to push through this injury, but it became very clear that that wasn't really going to be an option. I ended up, you know, trying to work, but being unable to. And ultimately, I lost my job because I couldn't remember what I was saying. I couldn't remember kids' names. I couldn't handle the lights in the schoolroom. I was having panic attacks when I was driving. So someone was having to drive me to school to teach. And it was a mess. So I, once I lost my job, I lost my income. And at the age of 23, I had not prepared for a scenario like that. And ultimately, sure. had to move back in with my parents. And I found myself really on a journey of recovery it lasted a long time. But yeah, it was a wild thing how quickly life can just turn on you.
No, that's amazing. And for anybody listening, it just shows you the seriousness of a brain injury, right? Because if you were bleeding from your head, they would have rushed you to the hospital and they would have done whatever they do, scans, MRIs, whatever they do to look at your brain to see what kind of a head trauma you had, right? A brain trauma. But they didn't do that because you got out of the car and you walked away, which probably was because you were filled with endorphins because you were in shock, right? That's why a lot of times we don't feel pain when we first get injured so bad, because it's our body's natural way of protecting us and we feel it later. But it's amazing at how much a brain injury can completely derail your whole life, which it sounds like happened after the accident until you kind of built yourself back up. And you don't call it post-traumatic stress disorder. You don't call it that because I'm sure there's trauma around the car accident. That's natural. But you call it post-traumatic growth. So what is post-traumatic growth?
Well, to me, you know, I think PTSD is normal. When something shocking happens to your system and we go through a trauma, it is a normal part of just the emotional process to grieve what you lost, to you know, be upset, to have anxiety. I think what I see is that sometimes people get stuck in that trap. And I was stuck there for about a year. I was feeling like a victim. And I was feeling like this shouldn't have happened to me. This wasn't fair. Mm-hmm. You know, why me? And of all people, you know, it shouldn't have happened to me. And I realized about a year in, my doctor actually said to me, Danielle, you know, this is your new normal. Like, your body has done the healing it's going to do, and you need to just adjust your life around these symptoms, and you need to move on. And I remember it felt like he kicked me in. I mean, it felt like a punch to my gut, where I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was 24, and he was telling me, basically, you're going to be in a dark room for the rest of your life, unable to manage life. And I thought, no way. Like, number one, you're fired. Like, that's not going to be it. But number two, I thought, okay, Danielle, you got to figure something out here. And I think there's this concept. People talk about karma all the time. And I think people have a misunderstanding of it. You know, there's external karma and there's internal karma. And external karma is like, say you have a billiard table and you, you know, you hit the white ball and it hits all the different billiard balls and they're all moving all over the place. Like, external karma was the white ball, but it caused a ripple of events, you know?
Right.
I don't know what ripple of events led to that man and I being on the same road and, you know, being hit by him and me getting a brain injury. Like, that was external karma.
Yeah.
But your internal karma is your internal response to an event. And your internal response is the only thing you have control over. It's the only thing that actually really matters in life. And it will ultimately determine the outcome, you know, that you experience, what your life experience actually is. I think it's easy for people to understand. Like, I always think about someone who maybe there's an alcoholic father who has two sons, and one son, you know, grows up and becomes an alcoholic, and the other one never touches a drop of alcohol. And you ask them, like, well, why are you the way you are? And they both say, just look at who my father was. Well, same external karma. Same dad that's an alcoholic. One's internal karma was, well, I've never had a bad example. This is just how life is, and becomes an alcoholic. And the other says, I'm never going to touch this. This isn't the way I want to live my life. And therefore, their outcome in life is very different. So what I learned about a year in to my accident, when I was told, basically, people in the external world didn't have an answer for me. That's how I took it. I said, okay, like, the neurologists don't have an answer. The world's not offering a solution. I need to go inward. And I just started to reflect on, okay, Danielle, what do you have control over here? Like, what can we manage? And I was severely depressed. I had severe anxiety. I was having panic attacks all the time, because the moment I thought about my future, I freaked out, because it was like, I didn't know how I'd feel a day from now, let alone if I'd ever be able to work again. And, you know, if I thought about the past, it felt like that was slipping further and further away. This, you know, woman that had been so successful in life and had achieved so much. And, you know, now I couldn't do any of those things. I didn't even recognize myself. And so I forced myself into the present moment, and I forced myself to internally think, okay, what would make me happy right now? How could I be with this situation? What if I just say there's new rules on this game that is my life? And now I have to find happiness within these new rules. Like, instead of focusing on what I can't do, why don't I focus on what I can do? And I just shifted, the internal karma, the internal response. And I started to say, okay, well, I could walk the dog. I could sit in nature. I could enjoy my grandparents and sit in a dark room with them. You know, I started to find that I could cook. I could read. I could have space to be creative, which I had never, ever allowed myself to just, like, be. I was always doing. And I started to realize that this internal shift that was happening was literally impacting my external world. My parents became less stressed because they saw that I was actually happier. My internal vibration shifted. I went from being angry and depressed and resentful to joyful, grateful, like, happy. And when that shift occurred, and I know you know this well because it's what you talk about, I attracted in the answer to my physical challenges. And I started on the process of actually repairing from my brain injury that I was told I never would.
Yeah, see, it was that internal shift that you made. Instead of looking at yourself as a victim, because we can, And we do have things happen to us, which if you just see what happens, you could call yourself a victim. You decided, I don't want to live in victimhood. This terrible thing happened to me. That's true. I have some issues now that I have to deal with and I have to address, but I don't have to accept what others are telling me, and I can start to look at my life differently. And you had an emotional and a vibrational shift, which is so amazing, because that is when these outside things started coming into your life that helped you heal. So really quick, because you mentioned this a couple of times about having to be in a dark room. So this brain injury has affected how you can be in light. Are you still having those issues about being in the outside with a lot of light on your, does that still bother you and hurt your eyes or bother your brain?
Thankfully, I've had basically a full recovery. I used to like to paint the picture of how things were. Yeah, I could not handle noise. I couldn't handle light. I had severe migraines. I would get tired after like 2 hours of being up, and I would have to nap. I would get overwhelmed going to the grocery store. Like, no one realizes the grocery store is one of the most, in all of the colors, all of the people, all of the lights. It was like, that would be the one activity I could do in a day if, you know, I had to go grocery shopping. And it was good therapy for me, right? To like push myself, but it would knock me out. Cause I just couldn't handle it. And, you know, I'd get dizzy. I mean, there was like a litany of things that I was having issues with. My processing speed was really slow. Like it felt like I was thinking through mud. Like I couldn't get the words out I wanted to. I could describe it, but I couldn't like articulate what was in my mind. It was just really slow, which I'm not used to. Like I'm used to what you're hearing now, which is like a very fast mind that's like connecting and conversating and happy. And I was really depressed. It was a really, really dark time.
Wow. So when you said everything, things started to shift for you, and you and your family noticed, your parents were happier because they could see that something shifted inside of you and you manifested these things to help you heal. What were the things that showed up in your life that helped you on your healing journey?
Yeah, well, we got a phone call from an acupuncturist. And she had known my mom, and she knew what was going on with me. And she said, you know, I've come across something in my practice. It's a biotech discovery that helps with cellular repair. It's called redox signaling, REDOX, redox.
Okay.
And she said, this basically increases the communication in your, like in your body. So your cells can better detect where things are damaged. Your cells activate the genes that help with your immune response and, you know, modulating hormones and all this stuff. And she said, you know, all of her clients were having results with it. And I, being a biology major, I was like, I never heard about that stuff. Like, that sounds crazy. I kind of wrote her off, which is wild. I think I didn't know about the law of attraction back then. I didn't know that the universe would provide answers as you should. I didn't know. I was, you know, unconsciously competent in the fact that I had shifted my vibration, but, So my mom, however, was more aware. And so she bought this stuff. She started using it. My mom had great results with her own, like, range of motion, her hands, and my dad started to be able to like work out and do more. I mean, they were like, oh my God, we feel 30 years younger. And they said, Danielle, look, we've researched this stuff, and basically it cannot hurt you. Like, there's literally no toxicity. It's native to your body. Your body will recognize it. It won't contraindicate. Like, just drink the stuff and just see what happens. Like, there's no downside, right? It either won't help or it will help. So let's see. And that's really the thing that started to shift everything. So when I started to, it's like a liquid you drink.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. What is it? It's a liquid that you drink. Okay. Okay. Is it considered homeopathic? Is it considered a homeopathic kind of thing? Because I know a little bit about. No, okay.
Yeah, it's not a homeopathic. Honestly, like, I would put it in a category of its own because, well, I'll tell you what it's not. So it's not nutrition. Okay. It's not an antioxidant. It's not an essential oil. It's not a CBD. It's not a homeopath. Pathic remedy, all of those things are great. I mean, I tried all of those things. This is like, if you were to think of your body as like a house, and you know, the typical things we have to support our body are like the nutrition, it's like the building blocks, like the raw materials that we give the body. This is more like the workers that come on to the job site and actually get the job done. Like they put it all to work. Like they take the shingles and they put it up on the roof, right? This is the workforce of the body, the labor force. And you have a lot of these redox molecules when you're young and you make less as you get older. And I mean, I wasn't that old. I was in my mid-20s.
Right.
But it's just, I had so much damage. It was like, you know, five guys trying to get a job done after a hurricane. Like, mm-hmm. It takes more time.
Yeah.
If you could put 20 guys on the job site, the time will collapse. And that's what happened with me. So I started drinking this stuff. I was drinking about 8 ounces a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't notice anything like major. It wasn't like this, ta-da, like, you know, light bulb moment. Nothing like that happened. But about 3 months in, I noticed that the pounding in my head, like, stopped. And that had been constant since the day of my accident, like, constant.
Wow.
And I remember thinking to myself, man, if this is the only thing that this helps me with, like, I can live life now. Like, I can function in the world if my head's not pounding. But as I stayed on it, my clarity came back. It was like I wasn't thinking through mud anymore. My energy came back. I wasn't having to nap. And as I continued, my sensitivities are like, they're not here anymore. You know, you ask if I still am in a dark room. No, I can handle life. I live in Florida and it's the Sunshine State. And I can be out in the sunshine.
Wow.
So it has been a beautiful journey. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, she got the ping from the universe to call my family and to let us know mm-hmm. that this was an option out there.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I want to talk more about that, but I see that we're coming up. We're coming up to the half hour mark. So let's take our break here and then we'll come back in a few minutes and we'll continue our conversation. Very interesting, Danielle. All right, guys, stay tuned and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Everyone has a story. I have a story. You have a story. We all have a story. As I see it, you have three choices. Allow your story to define you, use it to excuse you, or utilize it as a method to empower you. It's your life. You have the power. You choose. Rewrite your story on finduniquelyyou.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives. Hey guys, and welcome back. So if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Danielle Matthews, and she is sharing with us her journey from a head injury from a car accident back to her healing journey, really, back to being where she wants to be now in her life. And she's sharing that with the world. So it's really, really interesting. So Danielle, of course, during the break, I had to Google redox. I'm like, let me look it up. And I'm like, oh, this is really, really interesting. So I mean, obviously I'd have to really look into it, but is it that it's helping your cells heal on a molecular level faster? Is it like supplying each cell with whatever it needs to heal itself in a faster manner? Like, I don't know how to explain it in plain English. So you know better than me. So I'm just trying to, from what I briefly read, if that's what I'm understanding.
You did your research well. Yeah, if okay. I had to say, like, in a nutshell, so, like, the redox doesn't do the healing, but what it does is it stimulates the call for help, so the body can do what it was Got designed it. To do, and it can get back into its optimum. I often think of it like the life force of the body, and Got it's it. Just bringing more of the life force into you so that the communication is stronger. It's like getting 5 bars of service back on your cell phone when, you know, you've had 1 bar of service. Like, when the signal's there now,
right.
the phone can do what it's designed to do, your body can do what it's designed to do, and it's all about cellular repair. And so, you know, my issues were more in my brain, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. Like, every issue in the body is a cellular issue. Like, we're destroying right. cells. And right. Every person that, you know, were to drink this, or they have a topical version now too, like, it just will stimulate the signaling to where those damaged cells are. And, you know, you can think about the ripple effect of that, with what that would mean for each individual person.
Yeah. No, it's really amazing. And I'm definitely going to read more about that after the show. This is the reason I love having my show, because I learn something from each person who I have as a guest. Teaches me something that I didn't know. And, you know, information is power, right? So it's yes. like, I love learning more things. So, okay. So now you're feeling better. You're starting to see some things happening. You're starting to feel better. Did you go into other healing modalities to try to accelerate the healing? What did you do when you started to notice, I am kind of feeling better here with this, taking this. This is doing what it's supposed to be doing.
I kept everything the same. I mean, so I started using this 2 years out from the accident. And in okay. those 2 years, I had tried a variety of things, right? I had done hyperbaric oxygen treatment. I'd done neurobiofeedback. Okay. We changed my diet. I was taking supplements. I feel mm-hmm. that I had primed my body to be in a very, like, all the materials were on the job site, right? So
right.
when the redox came in, it just amplified everything. And I was not about to stop anything that I was doing. I was like, some combination of, like, this coming into what was already in my system is rocking. So right. I just kept everything. And then about 6 months in, I said, okay, let's start peeling some things away and see if I still feel good. And so I just slowly started to titrate off everything else that I was doing until mm-hmm. just the redox was left. And I felt fabulous. And it's now been, oh my gosh, it's been 9 years. So I still to this day take my redox. I believe, you know, there's more and more research that has come out with it. And like the biologist in me, obviously, after I had the experience I had, I went, okay, like, well, what actually happened? Like, what on the cellular right. level is really going on? And I started to learn that this was upregulating, like, the NRF2 pathway, which helps mm-hmm. with inflammation. It helps your body detoxify because it increases glutathione levels. And I was like, this just makes sense to stay proactive.
Right.
Like, once you lose right. your health, you never want to again. And I think, you know, we realize, as you, like, I know you realize this well, and those mm-hmm. listening probably are more in tune with this, but, like, our physical body is a vessel, and we need mm-hmm. to keep it at its optimum, because if it's not at its optimum, we cannot connect in, you know, mm-hmm. with the divine as well. Our intuition is not going to be as strong. Like, we're going to be distracted by the physical things that are going on. And so I have worked diligently to keep my physical body well. And mm-hmm. I'm like, if my cells stay healthy, like, that's going to trickle up to help every part of my body. So that's what I have stayed on and stayed true to. I obviously, like, eat well and I stay well hydrated, right? There are all these things need to happen. Right. But this really was, if I had to look at my journey, this was like the tipping point. Like, this was when mm-hmm. things really started to shift, when that got introduced into my regimen.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it must have, especially when you started noticing that some of these issues you were dealing with were no longer there, like the head pounding and the migraines and the, you know, you can't help but notice how you can function so much better when you're not having that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I can't even imagine. Now, do you consider that, because I know you talk about quantum healing. Is that something that you call, is that what quantum healing is, what you are doing? Or can you explain to us who have never heard that before, quantum healing?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I kind of continued on my journey of recovery, I entered, I would say, more of a spiritual journey. And I think that's, mm-hmm. that's true of most people that go through trauma. And I think yeah. that's the journey of post-traumatic growth. is it opens you up to asking deeper questions, maybe more esoteric things that we wouldn't typically ask, like, well, why am I here? Like, what is my purpose?
Right.
What am I doing? And I started to really ask these things, and I ended up at an ashram. I met my spiritual teacher, and I started to learn a lot more about just, you know, who I really am and this whole body-mind mm-hmm. complex. And I started to meet some really incredible healers, quantum energy healers, like just beautiful people mm-hmm. from around the world. And as I started to share the redox with them, they started to have a very different opinion of it. Like, I understood it from the biological standpoint, right? The stuff mm-hmm. that we can like test here. And they were feeling the energy of the product. And they were saying, Danielle, like the energy of this is like meeting me before your energy does when I enter the room. Like, what is this stuff? And then when they would use it, they would say things to me like, well, this is shifting my body. I feel that I'm shifting into a crystalline state. I feel that, you know, it's to calcify my pineal gland, all these things that like the scientists and mm-hmm. me can't prove. But I've right. heard it so often from people in the spiritual community. I went, you know, it makes sense. Like the link that my brain, like I have a very logical brain,
mm-hmm.
But I also, you know that this is very true. Everything they're telling me in the realms that they're in touch with that I'm just not. And I said, well, this makes sense because redox, it's reductants and oxidants. It's the exchange of electrons. So on the mm-hmm. cellular level, what's actually going on is that there's an energy transfer. And when we go into mm-hmm. the quantum field, we know that mm-hmm. everything is just energy. And yep. it's this flow of energy. So when I say it's quantum healing, it's because that's what's going on. We're actually moving and putting more energy into the system, encoded in a way that the biological body knows how to work with it and to signal more repair. And it's just, mm-hmm. it's incredible then what, you know, the body knows what to do with that. But we're talking about on a quantum level, more energy getting introduced into the system. And, you know, mm-hmm. the body just knows what to do with that. So that's the way that I look at it.
Wow. No, it's really, I'm really going to look at this more because, you know, I take asthma medication. I take it like I'm down, you know, I've gone down on my own naturally and I just don't want to be on it. I just don't.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look at this because I don't want to be a slave to pharmaceutical medications. And I'm not knocking them. So whoever's listening, I'm just saying personally, I would rather just not have to have that in my cabinet. So yeah, this is very interesting to me. So let's talk about these spiritual lessons, especially from a person who is very... Is it left-brained? Is it that you're very left-brained if you're very analytical and logical? Is that
yeah.
right? I always get those wrong, right or left-brained.
Yes, you got
so
it.
if you're very left-brained, how did you reconcile this with the spiritual lessons that came to you from what happened to you? Because in the beginning, you did what we all do. Something terrible happened to you. It was traumatic. And you said, why me? How could this happen to me? I'm a good person. You know what I mean? I'm sure you said that. I'm a good person. Why does this happen yep. to me? So what were the spiritual lessons that presented themselves as you were going on this healing journey?
Well, it's really interesting. As I mentioned earlier, like I couldn't think about the future because I'd get
right.
anxious, and I couldn't think about the past because I get depressed. And so interestingly, I forced out of like necessity so that I wouldn't take my own life. I mean, it was that drastic. I was like, you need to be in the present moment, Danielle. Like you got to mm-hmm. just stay present.
Right.
And every spiritual teaching, what does it tell you?
Yes, it's true.
Be present. And so I didn't understand at the time, right, that I was like tapping into the core and the essence of a lot of these spiritual teachings. But when I was present, what opened up for me, it was like this doorway opened. And all of a sudden, I started to be able to see that mm-hmm. I had these thoughts that were not helpful. And that my mm-hmm. own mind was actually incredibly detrimental to my well-being. And I started to go, why am I paying attention to my mind? Mm-hmm. My whole life, I had been identified with my mind.
Sure.
That's who I thought I was. And that's like my emotions. When they came, I just expressed them. And that was how it was. But mm-hmm. in this space, because I was really so present, I noticed that these like reflexive actions were coming in my mind and, you know, reactive emotions to certain situations. And I saw it first in other people, honestly, before mm-hmm. I saw it in myself. But then I started to see it in myself. And I realized that I could just be the witness, that I could actually watch this and not engage with it. And this literally set me free. It is what allowed me to increase my vibration. And it was about 2015. So my accident happened in 2012. So about 3 years later, I found myself going to an ashram. The way I had gotten there is kind of an interesting story, but the moral of it was I had helped a woman named Kamini Desai, who is an incredible spiritual teacher. I had helped her with a book citing research about what the West had to say about meditation. Okay. So I was helping her with that. And she said, I'd love to give you a training. Why don't you come? You can meet my father. And it's in Florida. And I had kind of written it off. But then I ended up moving to Florida. And I called her and I said, where is this place? And, you know, she said, Danielle, it's 2 hours from you. It starts in like a week. What? Come. We have space for you. So I walked onto the grounds of the Amrit Yoga Institute. I didn't know what an ashram was. I didn't know where I didn't know who her dad was. Well, her dad is, I mean, like a living legend. He's one of the first gurus that came over from India in the 60s. He founded Kripalu Institute, like just an amazing individual. And I listened to these teachings, and what they said on the very first day resonated with me. So they said, look, the yogis used to study this question. There was one truth that, if known, solved everything. What would that truth be? And what they landed on is that the truth is that you are not your thoughts. You were the witness that is there before, during, and after. And I thought, oh my God, that is the same thing that I learned. And that was the thing that set me free. And so after that, for the next 10 days, I was wide open, heart blown open, mind open, because I knew the truth of that statement. And so I just listened to everything else that these guys had figured out over the years. And I also had direct experience. So they developed tools like yoga nidra, a specific guided meditation, and yoga therapy. And I would do these things and I would experience viscerally in my own body, you know, these teachings that on the mind level made sense. But then when you can experience connecting in with the divine, when you can experience being more than your thoughts, being more than your body, it just makes those lessons undeniable.
Wow. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I've heard other guests talk and have had similar experiences. And I know from my own personal experiences with some things that have happened, what you're talking about. So hopefully people who are listening are really kind of grasping the deeper meaning of what you're saying. But a good way to practice is being just in the present moment, and when a thought comes in, ask why that thought came in and realize that you don't have to accept that thought. Just witness it. It's practice. It takes practice, right? I'm sure. Yes. I'm sure you practice all the time, but it's really, really interesting. Now, did that lead to your book, Mind Control? It's All in Your Head?
Yes, actually, this might be the best place for people to start. So what I started to realize was, okay, there were some simple steps. Like, there was a process I went through that opened me up to all of this. And so I share those steps in the book, and I kind of share in my, like, through my story, the steps that it took for me so that anyone else can apply them. And it's a free, you know, it's a free ebook, free download. You just go to my website, brainbodyself.com/ebook, and anybody can grab it. Because it's like, I don't want you to have to go through what I went through to learn these lessons. I do believe these are the secrets to the universe. I mean, this is this is revealing to you what the human journey is all about. And it makes it all make a lot more sense. And I think when you master this inner world and when you understand the inner self, the external world just becomes a playground. You don't take anything so seriously. You don't take yourself so seriously. And you realize that everything is actually unfolding for your benefit. Like, my accident is the best thing that's ever happened in my entire life. It has taught me so much. It has allowed me to become a person. That's why I talk about post-traumatic growth. Because without that trauma, without an inflection point, when life is going good, you don't question. But because it went poorly, because there was a massive challenge, I had to dig deeper. I had to pull something else out of myself. I had to ask different questions and therefore get different answers, different results, different outcomes. And, you know, now I'm in a position where I'm helping others. Like, I have a course called Inner Management Mastery, and I'm helping other people have these same discoveries to see how that can then impact their life. And, you know, I've been sharing the redox with people all over, because how could you not? You know, you come across something so powerful and you're like, things happen for a reason. Like, I think there's a reason that I was a biology major and then I did education, you know, before my accident. And now what an interesting form it's taken that I'm educating about a biotech discovery, you know, like, and spiritual principles. It's just, it's beautiful how all the pieces come together.
Well, I'm glad you said it because that's what I was thinking when, you know, listening to you talk, that this happened to you because it had to happen to you because you were the right teacher to share the information in the right way, or it wouldn't have happened to you. Yeah. It would have happened to somebody else. That's the way I believe about everything, right? And there's people that have these certain people that certain things happen to, and they take their pain and they transmute it, right? And they say, okay, I got something terrible happen, and I found a way to heal from it, and I have to share that information so people don't have to go through the trauma to get to the healing part, right? You know, you don't know.
Exactly.
You don't, right. So it's like you have to share the information, which I love that that's the work that you're doing. And what is it now like? What? So I'm looking at the time. So we have 9 minutes. So we have a little time. So what is it that is the most important thing that you think people who are listening to you after the experience you've had should take from what you're sharing with us just to live life in the world as it is today? I mean, if you look at the world today, it's very stressful. People are so stressed out. People are so angry. You can feel it, you know, online. I mean, if you're socially online, you can see it everywhere you go. All we hear is bad news that comes at us 24 hours a day. We never get a break anymore, like back before, you know, where there was a time, you know, before the internet, where people had, like, the day was shut off, you could rest, you know, we don't have that anymore. So that is damaging to our cells, talking about cellular damage. So what can we do? Just living a regular life.
Yeah. What I would say, the number one thing, and then I'll share a secondary, but the number one is to understand external plus internal equals outcome. Mm-hmm. The external world, the things that are happening. So the car accidents, the politicians, the, you know, everything that's going on externally is going to happen. We have very little control over it.
Right.
But it's our internal response that's going to determine our outcome, our result, the way that we feel life. So how are you choosing to be with what's going on? Are you allowing it to upset you? Are you feeding your body and your mind all of these intense things, or are you shutting it off? Are you choosing, right? We all have a choice. So I would say in any situation, figure out what choice you have, where you do have control, and start there. You know, can you leave the situation? Can you voice an opinion? Can you, you know, shift or change anything because of the power that you have over that? Act where you can and realize where you can't. And then what I have learned is that when you shift the internal world, you start to ripple out. So it's like light shining in a dark room. When you shine light, the darkness just vanishes. There is no power struggle. And when you have a higher energetic vibration, you shift the energy of the room. So the more you work on your inner state, the more you're able to master the inner world, the more you have control over how you interact, respond, how you're able to keep your own, you know, feelings and emotions regulated, the higher the vibration, you literally will shift and change the people around you. And when, you know, when they say be the change you want to see in the world, I always thought that was like an action that you took. But no, it's be. Like, you literally have to internally be at a higher vibration, and it will shift and change around you. And I think that more people, like, we have to realize that we have that choice. We're not at the mercy of this external world. We actually have an internal choice about it. And the more of us that realize that, it's like more lights getting turned on. And then there's going to be like a wildfire, you know, around the world, and it will shift everything. But we have to teach people this because people are not being taught that. And you know, the world is so divisive. It's pulling us so much into our ego minds. It's pulling us into division. It's making us fearful. all of these things are very much of the mind, the thing that we are not, right. But it can take over because of the way our body-mind complex is built. So
sure,
that would be my advice. The number one is just go internal, figure out where you do have control and what you can and can't do to react and respond to the way life's shown up.
Yeah. Do you have a daily practice that you do that sort of sets the space so that you approach the world that way? Like you said, you were in an ashram for a little bit. Do you do a morning meditation or like, do you have something that is a quick that helps people shift out of being engaged, being plugged in, you know, to the outside world and how to plug into the internal world?
The breath is the bridge. So
okay.
I practice breathing. I'll do it in the morning. I do it throughout the day. I did it before our call. I breathe in through my nose and I breathe out through my mouth. And it's so simple. And the inhale is maybe to the count of three, the exhale to five. The point being the exhale should be longer. And okay. This literally pulls the energy, like our life force gets pulled up into our brain, into our mind, in all of these thoughts and fears and stress. The moment right. you start to breathe, energy follows attention. So now you're bringing attention to the breath and it actually pulls the energy back into your body and you will feel a shift, like your nervous system will actually shift. It will start to balance out. And that is going to help you be more in control in your day. It's going to allow you to take power back. So that's something I also get out in nature every day. So I now live in the middle of the woods. I love it. I think that resets me. I'll pet my dog, right? If something's going off, you know, he grounds me. He's like my little healer. And I practice yoga nidra, which is a guided meditation. And if anyone has a hard time meditating, yoga nidra is done laying down. You do it comfortably and you just listen to a voice guide you. And you can go to my website. If you go to the self tab, I have a free one. So anybody can listen to it. It's just 20 minutes and it will profoundly shift you. And you can find 20 minutes in your day to reset, whether it's the beginning, the middle, the end. I kind of stick my yoga nidra wherever I feel like my body needs to hit the reset button.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like yoga nidra too for meditation because I have a hard time sitting and just letting my brain go completely silent. I'm much better when I have a meditation that is guiding me. You know, I seem to be able to latch on to the voice and go on that journey much easier than if I'm left to my own, if I'm left to my own brain devices. Well, yes, oh my God. Yeah. So you have a lot of things that you're offering. I mean, just the fact that, you know, for you guys listening, she's giving away her ebook, which is very generous. Your mind control to anybody who wants it. Mind control, it's all in your head. You know, and I think everybody listening should download that because, you know, like I said earlier, information is power, right? And it's just showing us another way to think about things because we can see that things are changing. Now, is there anything that you didn't get to share that you feel is really important? We only have a couple minutes left and I want to give you that opportunity.
I think that the other thing I would say is if you want to reach out and connect, I'm all over social media. I love, you know, I want to be a bright light online because of what you said earlier, Melissa. There's so much negativity and intensity. I just put out things of value to help remind you, ground you, bring you back into the spaces that you do have control over, remind you that life is actually beautiful and amazing things are unfolding, but we forget that there is polarity in life. And I'd say this is the second tip that I'd like to just leave everybody with. We live on a planet where there is hot and cold, there's love and hate, there's dark and light. And the problem we humans get into is that we have a preference. Right. My dog doesn't care if it's daytime or nighttime. He just exists. We start to have a preference.
Right.
We like this.
Right.
We don't like this. And what happens is that gets us into duality where something shows up that is the opposite of what we're wanting and we're resisting it. If we can just go back to accepting that this is all part of one whole, in order to know freedom, you have to know what it's like to be controlled. In order to appreciate your health, like I do, I had to lose it. So one gives the other. You know, I was looking at birds yesterday just flying overhead and like I was actually with my spiritual teacher and he said, birds don't appreciate their freedom because they've never known bondage.
I love that. It's true. Oh my God. Well, Danielle, it has been such a delight. Please check out her brainbodyself.com and connect with Danielle. Thank you so much for being with me today. And guys, go to my website, check out my Manifesting Through Gratitude workshop, and I hope you join me. Thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave, and I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.